AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Tom Rivers. After 146 days of walking the picket line, members of the Writers Guild have reached a tentative agreement with the Hollywood studios to end the writers' strike.
WGA members received an email saying a tentative agreement has been reached between the Writers Guild and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, praising the striking writers for enduring the pain and uncertainty of the past 146 days, and calling the deal exceptional with meaningful gains and protections for writers in every sector of the membership.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. The actors are still on strike. New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez set to have a press conference this morning in the midst of calls from some in his own party to step down. Menendez and his wife will be arraigned Wednesday on corruption charges. Less than a week until the clock runs out on the fiscal year and barring a spending plan in place, the government will shut down. This is ABC News. An emergency declaration in southern Louisiana over the threat of salt water seeping up the Mississippi River and entering the water supply. ABC's Derek Dennis reports.
The problem is drought, drying up part of the Mississippi, allowing salt water from the Gulf of Mexico to flow north. That salt water could then inadvertently get pumped out of the Mississippi and into water treatment plants. The water in Plaquemines Parish, south of New Orleans, has already been impacted for months. Louisiana's governor and the mayor of New Orleans now trying to calm residents' fears, urging them not to panic by bottled water.
Italian authorities have announced one of the country's most notorious organized crime figures died today in a prison hospital. Matteo Messina Denaro was convicted of dozens of murders. He was captured in January after decades on the run when investigators discovered he was being treated for colon cancer under a false name. Messina Denaro was 61 years old. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five minutes.
Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry
Ball. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest. Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday, September 25th, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, by podcast or social media. Nice to have you here to unpack the news this morning. Here's what's on tap from our home base, 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls. Well, first off, we're marking show number 200. 200 of these early morning shows over the past year or so. And we're doing it with absolutely no other festivities than marking it right here, because somebody should get a little credit for not missing a single 4 a.m. alarm for 200 shows in a row. And we're going to help you celebrate, by the way, by giving away two Brewers tickets to tomorrow night's game against the St. Louis Cardinals, when you could see them officially clinch the Central Division, because that still hasn't happened yet. We'll talk about that, and we'll also visit with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and unpack some of the weekend headlines. And that's it. No big party, no confetti like the other, you know, birthday celebration. Just noting a word of thanks for sticking around for 200 of these shows. Coming up on our next hour, our friends from Motherhood for Good bring along Luann Bird, whose Bird on a Wire podcast from Civic Media helps emphasize hope and civility and action to improve our communities. It's probably the most positive thing you could stick on your phone and listen to these days. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell comes in, as he does every Monday, with three things you need to know to start the week. We'll get our weatherology forecast. Meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki is slated to be here, and you can be a part of it all as well by ringing us up at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can text that number as well, by the way, or you can call or text us directly from the Civic Media app. So if that's not on your phone yet, you need to rectify that as well. Look for the Civic Media app. You can pick any one of the stations belonging to Civic Media across Wisconsin. You can listen on demand. You can call in. You can text in. There's just so many ways to make this show your own, as you could say. Sam Davison is down at the Civic Media Master Control Center there in Madison. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well.
All right. Sorry I missed you. I got in rather late on Friday there. Place was pretty well emptied out for the week at that point. And I suppose you had a busy weekend plan.
Here and there. I don't know. I went home for a little bit, so bit of a drive, but not too bad.
Home to Wrangell.
Uh-huh.
All right. Where I'm sure the leaves are changing very nicely already.
Yeah. When I was driving up, I drove back at night, but driving up it was really nice. Some of the leaves are still green, but they're changing pretty nicely now.
Yeah, they are. It's really starting to get pretty, you know, it's rather yellow around here, but some places get awfully, you know, orange and red. And as it turns out in the Up North News newsletter, there's a way to track that. The fall color tracker from, is it from Travel Wisconsin, I believe? Anyway, head over to the newsletter and you'll see where you can click to get the latest fall color report. You can sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. What else do we have in the newsletter here? Oh, some fall festivals. I think Christina has a bit of a fall theme going on with today's newsletter because there's fall colors, there's fall festivals, and then there's my column on a changing climate and the way that it impacts those fall colors and how we can continue to embrace the opportunities that come from trying to address a changing climate. 6 a.m. temperatures around the state start up here in Lake Wissota with 59 degrees, down in Madison 63, Waukesha 63, La Crosse at 60. Fairly consistent temperatures around the state, Wausau at 58, Wisconsin Rapids 59, Green Bay is at 62, and up in Hudson it is 59 degrees right now. So it was a nice weekend getting down to Madison to go visit friends. There wasn't any single hook. It just seemed like a good thing to do, especially before taking off on a little break here. As I'll be doing next week, I'll be gone this Friday and all of the following week. And I'm sure I've explained it before, but I never get tired of introducing people to the concept of potato break. And that's because here in Wisconsin, you know, not all school districts by any stretch take those 3 days before Thanksgiving off. But some do, some under the guise of an extended Thanksgiving break, and some refer to the deer hunting season, the gun deer season getting underway, and that, you know, so many people, so many students go with their parents on those deer hunts that, you know, it's just not worth it to keep the school district open. Well, in Idaho, where one of my daughters and two of my grandsons are, you think Idaho, you think potatoes. And in that particular part of the state, there are allegedly, apparently, still enough students who help out on family farms or just take part-time jobs with the potato harvest that there are still school districts out there that take what's known as potato break this time of year. Now, my grandsons have never been anywhere harvesting potatoes. Maybe I should if they, you know, ever misbehave or something, but they're good kids. What can I tell you? So it just seems to be a good excuse for grandma and grandpa to go out there and spend a little extra time with them. And that way, even if they're not out of school, at least it's a nice hook to enjoy a nice fall color drive out to the Mountain West and just see a gorgeous, frankly, quite underrated part of the country from a vista standpoint. Politically, not so much, but, you know, you can't find many better looking places than, you know, west of Yellowstone on a beautiful fall drive. Let's take a break here. We've had a lot of sports over the weekend to tell you about, and then we will unpack the news as well. And don't forget, we're giving away 2 Milwaukee Brewers tickets to tomorrow's game against the St. Louis Cardinals later this hour. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering 2 simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards 0 deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are all.
Big happy birthday goes out to Potsy. Actor Anson Williams is 74 years old today. We'll have more celebrity birthdays and music notes in today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit. But first, of course, we've got to talk weekend sports and the Packers, where Jordan Love celebrated his first career start at Lambeau Field by producing the type of comeback that his MVP predecessors orchestrated so often. Love rallied Green Bay from a 17-point fourth-quarter deficit after New Orleans lost quarterback Derek Carr to a shoulder injury, and the Packers stunned New Orleans 18-17 on Sunday. The Packers scored 18 points in just the final 11 minutes, and that helps them win their 11th consecutive home opener. That's the longest active streak in the NFL. They took the lead on Love's 8-yard pass to Romeo Doubs in the right corner of the end zone. With just 2 minutes and 56 seconds left, Green Bay becomes only the third team in the past 30 years to win after being shut out 17-0 or worse through three quarters. So that was the home opener for week three. Well, week four of the NFL season for the Packers is just 3 days away. Short week, quick turnaround. The Packers will host the Detroit Lions this coming Thursday night. And again, because it's Thursday night football, it'll be on Amazon Prime, so be aware, you're either going to need that subscription or know a friend who does. And if you go to a favorite sports bar or other pub to watch the game, you'll want to make sure ahead of time that they do or don't have a Prime subscription, because that's the way the business works this day and age. You want to see the game, you got to pay for the streaming service. Miami beat Milwaukee again 6-1 on Sunday, the second straight day that they prevented the Brewers from clinching the National League Central Division crown outright. The good news on that, I guess, is that now they will probably do that at home. Instead, the Marlins, by winning, remain only one game behind the Chicago Cubs for the third National League wildcard spot. So while the Brewers might be a little frustrated they haven't clinched the division yet, they certainly will here any time now. And then that's part of a final homestand this week against St. Louis and then against the Chicago Cubs. And like I said, the interesting thing here is that it's no guarantee yet that the Cubs will win that wild card slot. It could be one of like three, maybe four other teams are still in contention for it. And whichever one wins the wild card, that is who the Brewers will play in the first round of the playoffs. That much is already locked in based on all the team's records, is that the Brewers will not get a first round bye. They will be playing in the wild card round. And the way that the wild card round works now, if you're not familiar with it, is it's a best of three series, but all three games are back to back to back at one place. The higher ranked team hosts all three games of the wild card. So they might host two games, they might host three. It's a best two out of three series. And so that could be the Brewers hosting the Cubs, it could be the Brewers hosting the Marlins, or a couple of other teams. We won't know until the end of this week. So to listen in on how the Brewers could clinch as early as tomorrow when they start that St. Louis series, catch the Brewers in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support or in the Richland Center area on News from the Center. The Badger football team won Friday night at Purdue 38-17, but they lost Chaz Malusi to a likely season-ending leg injury. Quarterback Tanner Mordecai scored on runs of 14 and 6 yards in the first quarter alone, so maybe we see more of the quarterback running. And of course, you got to keep Braylon Allen healthy as well to keep that running game alive. The Badgers are now off for a week. They will be back in action on October 7th against Rutgers, and you can catch Badger football games on the Civic Media app. And the top women's volleyball team in the nation, the Wisconsin Badger women, they swept Indiana at home yesterday. They swept at Northwestern on Friday, taking them to 11-0 to start the season and maintaining their top-ranked status in the country. They will next play Wednesday night at Ohio State. Coming up in just a bit, we will unpack the news. If you want to join into those headlines at all after we get done here talking to Sherita Booker, keep that studio line open and keep it in mind. Write it down, 844-967-2789. And now Sherita Booker is with us to talk about some of the stories that are most read, most viewed, most clicked on throughout all of the Up North News social media sites. Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. So we have as our picks this week of our more popular stories. There's a food one. It's Wisconsin. There's a beer one. But also, if you're doing Wisconsin news, you certainly know that we've had a couple of very significant stories in the state of late, and that would include, you know, the legal fight over whether an 1849 law constitutes an abortion ban or not. And Planned Parenthood recently made a decision, and it's a decision where our post got a lot of reaction. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that had 1,200 likes, actually. So we posted a quote from the president of Planned Parenthood, Tanya Atkinson, that said, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin is again able to provide the full scope of sexual and reproductive health care, including abortion, to anyone in Wisconsin who needs it, no matter what. So Planned Parenthood in Madison and Milwaukee, two locations, have resumed services since last week. So people were very happy to hear that. Bethany Radloff left a comment saying, a good day for the women of Wisconsin, but we must keep fighting.
Very much so. It's something that we've talked to Kristen, we've talked to lawmakers. It's going to be an ongoing issue for quite some time, especially since the Dobbs decision is still out there. So despite this one particular change, there's still a lot to be done on that front. We obviously will follow that on our website, on the radio show, on social media as well. Now we'll get to a couple of those posts that are much more on the lighter side, not the least of which is in La Crosse, how happy they are to see that the six pack is back.
The brewing of Old Style is returning to La Crosse for the first time in 20 years. And so is the world's largest six pack of Old Style that first appeared in 1969. The Old Style brand has been owned by Pabst for the past couple of decades and has been brewed in Milwaukee. Now it's returning to where it all began in La Crosse, and City Brewing is taking over production. That post had almost 600 likes and over 200 shares. That's a lot of shares. Cheryl Kubiaskic said, happy to see that. We were excited to go see that one on one of our road trips, and we were disappointed that there was no six pack. Well, Cheryl, here's another reason to plan another road trip.
There you go. And of course, just in time for Oktoberfest, Old Style announced that there will be a pub crawl happening this Saturday where fans can visit six iconic La Crosse bars. You can fill a passport with stamps from each location. No purchases necessary. There's going to be buttons and merch. And for those folks who haven't seen it, these are actually six large storage tanks at the brewery, but they happen to be, when you either paint them or wrap them in vinyl, you know, just the right way, they look like six giant cans of beer. For the longest time, it was a six packs of Old Style, and now it will be once again. And again, something extremely well received by beer fans, by La Crosse fans, by everybody. All right. Last week, I made brief mention of this, and I'm guessing a few more people have shown up to comment since then. I talked about another one of our fill-in-the-blank posts, and I can only imagine how much more traffic you've had to wade through, Sherita, over a post that simply says, blank has the best cheeseburger in Wisconsin. I think, Sharita, you stuck the landing on this one.
Yes, you know what? Tuesday was actually National Cheeseburger Day. So I'm like, we didn't post anything about that. So let me do a fill in the blank and see what happens. So that got over 400 comments with people shouting out burger joints from across the entire state. I also did see a few of people say Culver's is their favorite. Andy Wright said the Bobtown Burger at Bobtown Bar and Grill in Roberts has apple jelly, jalapeno, pepper jack cheese, bacon, and peanut butter. I'm like, what? That's interesting. Yeah, like a PB&J burger. That's strange, but I try it.
Sure, why not? I mean, I'm just going to go through a few of these here. There's Biggs in Watertown, Big Star in Kenosha, the Burger Bar in Woodruff, Champs in New Richmond. Let's see, we got Mickey Lou's Barbecue in Marinette, the Nicholsworth in Washburn. Let's see, Wahlburger. Come on, stand down. Sharita, right. go and delete that one. What the hell? What is that? We got Oak Avenue in Thornton, Fritz's in Woodruff. Oh, wait, that's two different ones in Woodruff. Oh, I sense a burger off. Right. Yeah. And I mean, just so many others. And it's so great that people, you know, want to go in and give a shout out and maybe send a little traffic to some of the local joints that would appreciate a little bit of extra traffic. So Sharita, you had to know this one was coming and you're it right there in the Milwaukee area. You want a burger, not from some chain. Where you go?
So I am definitely going to the Fatty Patty. It's a food truck in Milwaukee, and I had the burger once, and it was so flavorful. I was eating it, and I just kept talking about it. Like, this burger is so good. I think I said it like 5 times while I was eating it.
The Fatty Patty food truck?
Yep, Fatty Patty food truck in Milwaukee. It is so good. Like, for sure, my top favorite, number one.
This, first off, that's just a great name. I'm sorry, but... Yeah, you can only imagine. I can only imagine. So now I will have to be on the watch for that. In fact, as I was looking it up just now, and yep, sure enough, I'm seeing a Facebook page for it, and yeah, Sharita, you're not lying. I'm now wanting a cheeseburger, you know, in the 6 a.m. hour here. Thanks so much for that.
You're welcome. Thank you. Later.
I will thank you later. Thanks, Sharita, so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right, well, there you go. I'm going to put it right up here on our screen on our live video feed as well. Blank has the best cheeseburger in Wisconsin. What do you got? If you want to join in the conversation, 844-967-2789. All right, just enough time here to touch on one thing that I posted on. If you want to follow some of my political musings online, then head over to Pat Kreitlow Up North. That's all one word there on Facebook. That's a separate page that I've got. And I basically take issue, and rightly so, with one of these typical Republican legislator posts. And in this case, it's State Senator Romaine Quinn from the Rice Lake area, who has this picture of the woods taken from out of his deer stand, I assume, and says, "Sometimes it takes sitting in the woods to remember how lucky we are to not live anywhere near Madison. Good luck, hunters, this weekend." Why? Why? What's the point of that? And so I, you know, decided to put it up myself and just remind the senator and others of this. It's the smallest minds and hearts that are responsible for our biggest problems. The rural-urban divide is about as genuine as the cynics who gin it up, because they only have the capacity and the compassion to come up with scapegoats rather than solutions to their community's challenges. A competent state legislator is devoted to working for all the children of the state, wherever they live, protecting the vulnerable, whatever their zip code, income, or political stripe, seeing every Wisconsin soul as a real Wisconsinite. It's this whole Madison isn't the real Wisconsin crap that holds our state back. And it's why places like Madison are growing like crazy, accepting the bright young adults from places where opportunities are slim, because their hometown leaders think owning the libs is what passes for leadership. Do better. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Kristen Lyerly will join us, fresh off another Packer victory somewhere in her backyard. We'll be back here up north.
Happy days. This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. After 146 days of walking the picket line, members of the Writers Guild have reached a tentative agreement with the Hollywood studios to end the writer's strike.
WGA members received an email saying a tentative agreement has been reached between the Writers Guild and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, praising the striking writers for enduring the pain and uncertainty of the past 146 days, and calling the deal exceptional with meaningful gains and protections for writers in every sector of the membership.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. The actors are still on strike. New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez set to have a press conference this morning in the midst of calls from some in his own party to step down. Menendez and his wife will be arraigned Wednesday on corruption charges. Less than a week until the clock runs out on the fiscal year and barring a spending plan in place, the government will shut down. This is ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true, the tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I want you to actually be able to hear the song. A lot of times you can't even hear Todd Rundgren through all the cheering with, you know, 800,000 people in Lambeau up on their feet.
And all the other folks surrounding Lambeau, tailgating, having a great time.
I even have a son-in-law who will play that on his phone and record making the little grandkids dance. You know, just the baby is bouncing around to it and... You know, in her Packer outfit. It's a beautiful thing when the Packers win, especially a come-from-behind win like that, Kristen Lierley. That had to be a fun day for you.
What a game, Pat. I wasn't there. I went there. I biked there and tailgated, and then I biked back, and I listened to the game while I was cutting the grass.
How do you do that? You bike to tailgate? I mean, do you put like a little grill? Do you tie it down with bungee cords to the back of your bike? How does that work? Or, oh, I'm sorry. Friendly girl shows up and people just give her, you know, a brat or whatever, right?
My neighbors host an amazing, reliable tailgate, so I have a destination. But the fun part is I throw on a jersey and I look like Packery as I'm biking. And I love just passing by people as they're shouting out their window, go Pack, go. It's so great to see all of these people just, you know, wanting to share that, they just in the spirit, share the spirit of the Packers. So I had a blast biking there. I had a blast at the tailgate. And of course, listening to the game was just wow.
Yeah, for both of us, the whole game was kind of on the radio. I left Madison or at about kickoff, and it takes basically the length of one football game to get home. And so the big comeback was happening as we were in the home stretch. And for like the first 2/3 of the drive, it, you know, wasn't going all that great. And we thought, well, we're normally over at the edge, you know, the little bar over here by us. And, you know, people are either really, really happy or they're really, really not. And so at some point we thought, well, I think we picked the right day not to be at the edge. All the neighbors are gloomy. And then the big comeback happens and we're sitting in the car going, guess we should have left a little earlier. We could have been at the edge by now with all of our friends.
It was so interesting as it got towards the end of the game. And when they went for two, I think a lot of us were like,
you sure about this?
Yeah, but man, it all just turned out the way we all wanted it to. And boy, what a great day to be a Packer fan.
And even when the game wasn't going all that well in the beginning, I could hear that Wayne and Larry were a little downcast about it. But I was just sitting there listening, going, I'm not bothered by this. It's a young team. We're not setting our hopes too high. They're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. This is what happens sometimes. So the win was, I mean, don't get me wrong. Of course, you always would rather win. But even if they hadn't, you'd be thinking, okay, we've got some young talent. Let's just keep growing this and seeing where it goes. And now we see where they go on a short week.
Yeah. And let's remember how many injuries we have right now. I mean, yes. Not having Aaron Jones on the field is a big deal.
Christian Watson and Bakhtiari, did he play? I don't think he did. Mm-mm. You know, we're hurt and still doing all right. So yeah, you're in your typical Monday green and gold, but you said it's just going to be green and gold all week since it's a Thursday game.
Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's a short week, and I'm going to be in Omaha on Thursday. I've already found my Packer bar.
Oh, you did? Oh, nice. Yes. Okay. I've already mentioned that I'm heading to Idaho later this week, where a lot of folks up there are Denver Broncos fans. I'm not sure I want to go now after they lost to Miami yesterday. 70-20. 70-20. Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh,
yikes. So. That's Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Who has not had the tail end of a career that he would have liked, you know, compared to the excitement that he brought to Badger fans once upon a time and to Seattle fans, you know, but early on. But, you know, quarterbacking, there's no guarantee. I mean, Tom Brady was really the exception in terms of the last third of your career being, you know, everything you could possibly want. It quite often does not work that way.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of great to see the Dolphins doing well. I mean, they've struggled for so long.
Oh, for so long. That's a nice turnaround for them. Some good news as we look at some of the other headlines here. The screenwriters' strike appears to be ending after about 146 days. So glad to see that there's been some progress on that. Meanwhile, the UAW strike did spread on Friday, including a couple of plants in Wisconsin, with people picketing in Hudson and in Milwaukee. And I thought it was especially interesting that we learned finally where Donald Trump is going to go this week. He's skipping the present Republican debate.
Oh, shocking.
To say that he's going to strike, or he's going to talk to the strikers and other blue-collar people of Michigan. Of course, it's a non-union shop that he's going to. And he's simply going to go there and trash the union and you know, stick up for the corporations. You know, he'll try to pretend that he's not, but that's, I figure enough people have seen through that by now. The polling would indicate otherwise. That, well, he still does so well in the polling is a mystery, but some of us stopped seeing through the veneer a long time ago.
he's those of us who are paying attention and understand what it means can see through the veneer, but he's so good at creating this image, this I'm different, this, you know, follow me and pay attention. And the media goes right along with it.
They
are so sucked into all of his shenanigans. That's why the polling shows what it does.
And to see one particular outlier poll from ABC News over the weekend that showed that Trump was like ahead by 10 and ahead with like people under 35. No poll has showed anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kind of numbers you would normally sit on and say, okay, now let's wait and see what the next poll shows. But of course, these networks, they got to run with something right away. Every presidential election in, you know, recent memory has been decided by a couple of points. And by a couple of points per state and a couple of points per age group. And if you think that there's a 10-point gap in any area involving Trump and Biden, you're just fooling yourself. And this media reliance on polling as content is made laughable all the more only by their focus on the dress code for the United States Senate and whether what Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman wears bodes ill or well for Democrats. And again, I just want to shake some of these people in their newsrooms and say, could you talk about things that are actually affecting American families right now instead of trying to do infotainment, please?
Wait, are there problems to solve? I thought everybody was good.
Yeah, you would think so, given how very little is focused on those things, like, you know, the problem of affording childcare and everything like that. You know, I like that. The people who do pay attention to these things, you know, some of the media critics and others like Dan Frumkin, you know, posted again yesterday saying the CNN I want to see is a CNN that identifies what the public misunderstands the most and then throws everything it's got at helping people understand it better. Why is that not a good idea?
Well, isn't that what we're doing here, or at least trying to do?
That's what we're doing, yes. And why you can't see it, you know, beyond that is just. And here's another one you had on ABC's This Week that somebody saying on there, the Democrats have had a historically weak bench for the last 10 plus years because everyone there is Joe Biden's age and there's no one to replace him. And I mean, the whole rest of the day, you just had people reminding you about, you know, Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom, Raphael Warnock, you know, J.B. Pritzker, and on it goes. The bench is there, but they bring on these pundits who say these goofball things. And then again, like Kristen Welker with the president, they don't challenge it. Mm-hmm. And you're not doing anybody any favors there at all. Kristen Welker saying to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg yesterday, when Buttigieg explained properly that the government shutdown drama is an entirely House Republican matter. Entirely. And Kristen Welker's response is, but again, if there's a shutdown that falls on everyone's shoulders, why isn't the president using the bully pulpit? Again, it's the House Republicans who are doing this. Mm-hmm. And they're so desperate to both sides this thing instead of, again, putting the focus where it rightly belongs.
I love it when Pete Buttigieg talks because his message is always so concise and so understandable. He's one of those young bright stars in the Democratic Party, I think, as well.
Oh, my gosh. And he so schooled a couple of members of Congress over the weekend during oversight hearings. The one talking about, oh, yeah, the climate change. It's called autumn. and the secretary saying, seasons are not climates. And, you know, having to, again, educate some of the dimmer bulbs that are members of Congress here. It's unfortunate, but these are the folks who get elected. One more political note coming out of Congress. And it's funny that we often use Hunter Biden as the reason here, but now we get to go to Bob Menendez, senator from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Corrupt as all get out. And you have John Fetterman again right away leading the pack and saying that this guy needs to resign. You've got members of the New Jersey congressional delegation saying this guy needs to resign. There is no need to circle the wagons around this guy. But this is where we get that warning to Chuck Schumer and every other Democratic senator who has not spoken out yet. is that the longer you go without speaking out, the more ammunition you give Republicans defending Trump, mm-hmm. who will say, oh, well, see, if you're not calling on him to resign, why are you prosecuting Trump? So get going on this. Judd Legum wrote yesterday about how there'd still been only one Democratic senator who'd called on Bob Menendez to resign. And this is after being charged with felonies. He notes that the number of Democratic senators who called on Al Franken to resign over allegations of sexual misconduct that never resulted in any criminal charges, 35. 35 Democratic senators said, nope, we can't have that. You should resign. That the number of Democratic senators calling on Bob Menendez to resign, that it's only one, maybe two at this point, you better not keep it that way for another, like maybe another news cycle, or you are doing crazy damage to Democratic hopes.
Although, to be fair, when Al Franken was called on to resign, and I think that that was completely the wrong thing to do, but I think you have to contextualize it. It was the Me Too movement, and there was a lot of that happening, a lot of that punishing that was happening. And I think that Democrats were really quick to call on him to resign because they wanted to be part of that Me Too movement. I think if they had taken a breath and looked at it in a balanced way, it wouldn't have gone that way.
Oh, the context is perfectly reasonable to put out there. There is a little bit of apple orange in each, but the overall lesson to take away from this is, don't wait too long to look like you're defending something that isn't necessarily defensible.
And this isn't Bob Menendez's first run-in
with ethical
issues.
eight months ago, he beat the rap because of a hung jury. 8 months ago. And what did he do? Did he change his ways? Nope. He went right back to soliciting gold bars and wads of cash and perhaps sharing some insider information with Egypt that got to Saudi Arabia. This guy needs to be out yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we need a Congress that is focused on avoiding a government shutdown. And the real pain that's going to do to families, you're going to be asking people to continue serving without paychecks who are in essential jobs. Others are going to be going home with no paychecks as well. And those are the things you need to be focused on, but you need to get some of this other stuff off the table. Otherwise, you just give Republicans a reason to defend the indefensible, a president that fomented an insurrection.
Yeah, when they're so busy playing politics on that level, they forget about the repercussions for us, the everyday people who are counting on a functional government.
That's right. Let's see, from Roger online here, a little trash talk for the Vikings. Hey, Vikings, knock, knock, who's there? Owen. Owen who? Owen 3. That's never going to get old.
When I was at Lambeau yesterday, as I was leaving, there were two Vikings fans who were tailgating in the lot while the game was happening. It was very, I didn't understand. I stopped and asked, and my statement was, I have questions. And they explained to me that one of their wives had season tickets, but they refused to go in. So they sat out in the parking lot.
But I thought they wanted to, don't they want to see what winning football looks like?
No.
Between that and Bears fans, I don't even know the final Bears score. I tuned out when it was 41-0 or something.
They got
like
a touchdown.
That.
They got a touchdown and a field goal.
All right. Well, hey, little favors, right? Boy. And look, it's again, the season's young, but for them to be 0-3 and for them to be 0-3.
With Justin Fields.
Yes, the second coming didn't happen that way. Oh, well. Hey, let's take a break here. We've got a very busy history lesson and music break. And we're giving away Brewers ticket. Or it's baseball trivia. It's a general baseball trivia question. Pay attention. It's part of this day in history. You're going to need to call quick because you're going to know the answer. And you can go to tomorrow's game back after this. You're up north.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 65. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 55 tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. 67 tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Upper 60s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered showers Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 58.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
It was on this day in 2017. We start with a melancholy note here. 2017, this day at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers played their last concert, last stop on their 40th anniversary tour, and it would be the last one overall as Tom Petty died 1 week later. On this day in 1690, the very first newspaper to appear in the Americas was published. Public Occurrences, Both Foreign and Domestic, was the name of the first newspaper. It lasted only one issue to prove that newspapers have never had an easy time here in the United States. Again, we're going to be giving away Brewers tickets here. I need to get to my phone number here, 844-967-2789. We're going to give you that as part of this day in history. It's not this one, because this is Janis Joplin, and Janis Joplin never played baseball. But on this day in 1970, she recorded Me and Bobby McGee at Sunset Sound Studios in Hollywood. And she died 9 days later from a drug overdose at age 27. In Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, when us feeling near as faded as my jeans. On this day in 1977, the first Chicago Marathon was run. Now some birthdays. Michael Douglas is 79 today, the actor. The actress, Catherine Zeta-Jones, it's her birthday as well.
Weird.
Isn't that weird? Because Catherine Zeta-Jones was born on Michael Douglas's, wait for it, 25th birthday. Happy 25th birthday. Meet your future wife. That's a Saturday Night Live skit. That's already happened. Let's see. T.I. is 43 today. His biggest year was 2008 with songs like this one, Live Your Life. You steady chasing that big car, just live your life. All right, let's see. I mentioned that Anson Williams, a.k.a. Potsy, is 74 today. Supermodel Cheryl Teagues, 76. Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, 72 years old today.
Do you follow him on Twitter? He's yes. Awesome.
He is hilarious, yes. Christopher Reeve was born 71 years ago today. Unfortunately, passed away back in 2004. Heather Locklear is 62 today. Will Smith is 55, and actor Donald Glover is 40 years old today. And let's do another TV fall premiere. It was on this day in 1970 that ABC debuted a new show about a musical family, the Partridge Family. Kristen should be in the remake. You and your boys in a band.
Hello world, thought about it. Come on, get happy.
Honestly, I wouldn't be. I'd be surprised if this wasn't on your alarm clock. You
know. This should be our theme music in the morning.
There you go. On this day in 1990, Dave Grohl replaced Chad Channing in Nirvana, becoming the band's fifth and final drummer. And now one more. And this is where you better get set to dial the phone here, and you're going to win yourself some Brewers tickets for tomorrow's game. On this day in 1974, Kristen, don't blurb this out. You being a doctor, I know you're going to want to.
Okay.
On this day in 1974, a doctor performed the first ulnar collateral ligament replacement surgery on a baseball player. Again, the first ulnar collateral ligament replacement surgery. Nobody calls it that anymore because the surgery is now named after this guy, the pitcher for whom the surgery was named after. It was performed this day in 1974. What baseball player has a surgery named after him? First one through at 844-967-2789 wins two tickets. Nice seats to tomorrow night's game, Brewers against the Cardinals at American Family Field. Tickets will be emailed to you, and you cannot have won a prize in the calendar month of September. Well, I did that Monday thing again here, Kristen, so I'm going to need you to tell me more about what you're doing this weekend, because I'm wondering, why where's Selena? Why didn't Selena Heller join us? And I'm getting the little text message right now that says in so many words, hey, dummy, you never sent me the link to come join you. So,
Well, the weekend begins...
I tapped that email out to her.
The weekend begins on Thursday for us all across the state because we've got our big game against Detroit, which is going to be a huge game, and it's a home game. So that's a pretty exciting thing that's happening.
And you'll be in Omaha at the time.
I'm going to be in Omaha all weekend. Big meeting for the
American
College of
Abiturients. Do you go from Omaha to D.C., or do you get a stop at home first?
I'm coming home, and my 17-year-old is going to be in a play, so I'm flying in, going to his play. I'll be here for a couple days, and then I head out to D.C.
Very nice. Okay. Let's see. I'm waiting to get a note here from Sam as to whether one of these folks on the phones has a correct answer for us or not. Sam, you want to let me know what you got over there? Oh, look, sounds like he's talking to somebody right now. Oh, no.
Oh,
wait.
Sorry. Oh. Yes. I was on the phone. We have a winner. First person who called in.
Okay. And who was our winner?
Our winner was Randy O'Connell.
Randy O'Connell.
Congrats.
Way to go,
to Randy.
And Randy knew that the answer was what baseball player has a surgery named after them, Sam?
Tommy John has a surgery named after him.
There you go. That's congratulations. I guess. I mean, better to have a surgery than say, you know, like Lou Gehrig's disease, I guess, or whoever Mr. Alzheimer was or something like that. We've got those things working for us, right?
I didn't put that together, but yeah.
Okay. Hey, Selena, where you been?
Just patiently waiting.
Good morning.
Just waiting, hanging out here. So you said your son's going to be in a play later this week. And Sam, you were saying that your girlfriend was in a play over the weekend here, right?
Yes, that's right. She was Sherlock Holmes in the university's production of Sherlock Holmes. It was like a female twist to it.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. And then that takes us to our resident thespian, Selena here, who's been in how many hundreds of plays would you say you've been in by now, it feels like?
Oh, gosh. Not I don't know. A lot of improv. For a stretch, we did a lot of improv here in the Chippewa Valley. So that was a lot. And then, so Emery, this is a fun little fact. She's been probably to 50 plays and she's only 6. Yeah. So she's well-versed in theater, but yes. And if
or
I don't...
doesn't know what's real and what's not, you know, depending on parenthood skills here. Yeah.
Is this real? No, but she gets theater. She gets, you know, and she says, now I say, do you want to do like, if I'm not in a show, I do hair and makeup and stuff like that. So, and we volunteer, we usher and things. And I say, now, do you think you would want to do hair and makeup, or do you want to do the lights? Cause she sits in there and watches that too. And, or you want to be on stage. And she said, on the stage, I want the funny parts.
Don't we all?
Yep. Tell her to get her own morning radio show, okay? I suppose it won't be too much longer, and we can give her a regular role here, right? I mean, once she's working on reading, I assume. So at some point, she could like read off the sports scores or something for us.
Sure, I'm sure she would love it.
Okay, Selena's been working on stories for Up North News. We're going to review some of those things coming up along with Kristen after the break, and get the weekend details on Pat's style makeover. It was a big shopping trip. Back after this, you're up north.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Faith Abube.